Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah! It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
This is the Colin Ollie Classic Nitro Review!
That's Eric Bischoff trapped in a box. We are back in the mid-90s. Watching every episode of Monday Nitro from its very beginning to its bitter end, or indeed ours. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, along with our resident WCW kid, Sam Driver.
All right.
Mate, it's fucking nearly Cardiff o'clock.
I know it is.
Oh my God,
very,
we're going
to Cardiff,
mate.
I don't know why you're so excited.
I'm so excited, because me and you are going to go out for a bit. We'll have a lovely time.
Well, it's going to be great.
Me, it's you, be and Owen and Andrew, like, have a great not, time.
Like, I am excited to see the event. I'm looking forward to it. But you got no idea how busy these trips are.
I'm ready for work.
You got no idea how busy these trips are.
Workhorseman.
I know you are, but I...
Workhorseman of the apocalypse.
All I'm saying is just prep yourself for life just hitting you in the face and time dissolving. Like it's nothing.
Time is a construct of human perception.
Yeah, you'll be saying that at about 8 a.m. and then all of a sudden you're back at the hotel covered in gear and it's 3 hours late and you're like, hey, how's it too?
Well, I'm ready for it to zip by.
Yeah.
I'm ready to have a lovely time to watch some... Did you see the lovely itinerary from the press team that we
have
sent?
I have not had a good chance to look it over properly. Ooh. But I've seen the events that are detailed and ran down. Mm. And I don't know if we can talk about any of them publicly, but it looks interesting. It looks very interesting.
It's like a lovely time.
Yeah.
As you say, it's going to be busy as all heckles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to be like 5-6 cups of coffee that morning. Like, last presser I did was 4 a.m. wake up, I think 4:30 call, and that was bad. That was like a literal pot of coffee before turning up, just downing it.
My alarm normally goes off at R4, and then my cat goes off at 25 to 5.
Yeah.
So like I'm already pretty primed.
That's
for
good.
4:30
That's good.
Alarm.
You,
so I'm ready
you can
for
kick
that,
me awake then.
I'm ready for that.
Hard as you can, right, like, in the face.
Give a big old kick. I'll see what my cat does and just scratch on the blinds.
Just climb on my chest and gently start pawing my face.
Just purr at you and shout, "I want breakfast." To do what my cat does, I go, "I want breakfast, but I don't want to eat breakfast. I just want to look at the breakfast."
Pull out like a kibble box and out comes like, I don't know, like porridge or like pancakes or something.
And I go, "This will keep
in
me placated
like
for 5 minutes.
You kind of pour it and then walk off.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Make the mistake of letting you out the room and so you just sit at the door just going, meow, meow.
I don't want to come in. I just want the option of coming in.
Yeah.
I don't want to come in. I just want... If I want to come in, I want to be able to. It's all he's a little fucking... I love him. He's a fucking little dick. We're recording this on Black Cat Appreciation Day.
Yeah, it's Black Cat Appreciation Day, so be careful what you're saying.
He's a little fucking dick for that. In the morning, when he'll just go, "Want to go out?" And you open the door and you go, "Okay, that's fine."
Cooper's fine. It's just now he's been in the backyard, so now he's like, "I want to go outside now." And it's like, you're an indoor cat though, man. You can't... If you're not going to keep a collar on, you're not going out.
But Dad, I want to be where the people are.
But it's like there's a main road, there's all sorts, so it's going to be a case of get him on a lead after he gets used to a collar, make sure he's familiar with the area, make sure he knows that there's a massive busy road, and then if he's not a little arsehole, then we'll let him out.
Can I recommend a harness from personal experience?
The harness will be what we did do first. I think we'll take him out on a harness just to get him used to the area because there's like cars and all sorts of stuff. But
Fun fact though that I learned when Pablo did a runner to the week is that indoor cats, even if they don't know the area, they'll go no further than 50 meters.
Ah, okay.
So they'll stay local if they don't know the area. So even if Cooper did get out, your best bet is to check like in the bushes nearby.
I mean, there's just a giant field. That's the one worry. There's just a giant field.
He won't go that far into it.
Right, fingers crossed.
He'll find a little corner and he'll just go near. And then what you do is, even if he buggers off, which is what we did, you put out his litter tray and his food and just stand back. And eventually you'll go, oh, I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
And then he'll find his way back. They're weird like that, cats. Even though they don't know the area, they'll stay relatively local to stop themselves from going missing.
Yeah.
And you've been staying local via dropping us an email to our mailbag, classic@cultaholic.com. Your thoughts, questions, and concerns for all your classic review needs. Hello, gentlemen, says Quetzal. I hope I've pronounced you right. We tweet a few times, sir. Thank you very much for it. It's either Quetzal or Quetzal.
I was going to say Quetzal or Quetzal. I recognize that name from Twitch. So,
Yeah. I think it's that, gentlemen. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Listening in Mexico, who says, hope you're both doing well. I love the 90s talk and the bit of wrestling in every episode. Sometimes we talk about wrestling.
We don't.
With all the stuff that Hulk Hogan has made in what you cover on Nitro, it's awfully impressive how he managed to convince wrestlers, producers, and bookers to do things the way he wanted them to, because Hogan knows best.
Yeah.
That being said, my question is, if Hogan came to work for Cultaholic, do you think you would fall for the good old Hogan charm, or would you be able to outsmart him? This is a great question.
I think the problem herein is that, this is going to sound horrible, but Hulk Hogan's a bit older and frailer, so I'm fairly sure while he poses a moderate physical threat to us, because the guy still works out and he's still, you know, 24-inch pythons and all that jazz, I reckon that he wouldn't be ready for the fact that the first thing we would do is use him.
Oh, I see.
Because we'd just be like, sit down, right, shoot on Greg Valentine. Right, now shoot on Brutus. I don't want to shoot on Bruto. Shoot on Brutus now. And then we've got a baguette, like a hardened baguette, and we'll keep banging it on the table so he knows it's hard. No, I mean, Christ, if Hulk Hogan walked in, the first thing we'd do would be like, right, let's do as much physical content possible. If it was a situation in which we had to have him on employ, it would be a case of, right, let's get as much content out of him as physically possible that people want, and then we'll take it from there. And then soon you'll have, like, Hulk doing Twitch streams playing
what would Hulk
asteroids,
play
on? Maybe. He's got a fucking Vectrex and he can't hook it up, so he's sort of sat playing it like this, as if that was the Vectrex, like this on stream. But every time he turns around, he's blocking the screen, so you can hear it.
Maybe on Nintendo Wii. I like the idea of him playing Wii Sports.
I like the idea of him in Hell on a Smell.
Oh!
Hogan in a smell chamber.
Locking Hogan in a smell chamber.
Yeah.
You dumping beans on me, brother!
Protein.
Stop dumping protein powder on me. Yeah, okay, good answer. We'd use him. Hello, Classic Nitro lads. And they spelt it with a Z.
Yeah.
Cool, 90s. If the Dungeon of Doom were to make a modern day comeback in WWE, who would you put in the faction? In case I don't speak to you before, many happy returns during the season of the Christmas Bee. Eric of North Dakota. That's a throwback. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Nicely done. So a modern day Dungeon of Doom.
I got a couple
we love
of
the dungeon. The Hanna-Barbera cartoon that is the Dungeon of Doom.
It needs to fucking happen. I am insistent on it happening. If it doesn't happen, I'm going to buy Hanna-Barbera myself. Do it that way.
I used to think Hanna-Barbera was one person.
Yeah, I can see that though, because it was the same with Klasky Supo with Rugrats. I didn't realize that was until later on.
You thought it was one
person. Even though their names literally appear in the credits. But yeah, I got a couple of answers for this. So, in terms of like the roles, there's a lot of people in the Dungeon of Doom, so I've kind of finagled it down to an ultimate leader, a main leader like a Sullivan, a giant, muscle A, muscle B, a Meng type, and a Hugh Morris type.
Nice.
So my initial pitch is, now that he is the biggest, you know, we finally know, as the current meme is doing the rounds, we know what was in the lockbox, Vince. Shane is the master. He is the King Curtis.
Ooh.
And it's all going to be pre-taped shit as it was with King Curtis. And then there'll be Bray in the Sullivan position, the de facto leader underneath the higher power. And then Omos is the Giant Jr., the grandson of Andre the Giant. Otis is the Megalodon doing War Tenta Proud. Rick Boogs as El Hijo del Zodiac, and whenever they beat down Nakamura, because, I mean, come on, it's mid-card. It's a horrible thing to say. Nakamura, mid-card, fucking hell.
Yeah.
whenever they beat down Nakamura, he's in there kind of going, no, don't do it.
Friend!
Like Ed Leslie used to be. Wendy Chu in the Meng position. She kind of... Yeah, we're going to have to work on the whole powerhouse threat thing. But she mainly uses her power of sleep to take people into strange and alternate dimensions in which they always lose. Dream World. And then Vacant in the Hugh Morris role. And it's just a guy in a grey morph suit, not particularly toned, just an average bloke. He just comes out and he's named deliberately in a manner that whenever a belt gets vacated, which is every like 3 weeks, he just walks down and grabs it, and then they've got it. They've got it. Yeah, he just steals it.
Wow.
But then I thought actually about it, and I figured the best way to do it, if we wanted to try and treat it semi-seriously, which is a fucking statement and a half considering it is.
It's the Dungeon of Doom.
The Master, I would have as Sullivan.
You'd have... Oh, so Sullivan would graduate to the Master.
Sullivan would be the King Curtis. Ah. So you could do a load of pre-tapes. And then under that, of course, we stick with Bray as the leader. Omos in the Giant position. Muscle A, which is your Tent or your Vader type, either Otis or Dave Mastiff. Muscle B, which is a more crazed muscle. T-Bar. Meng position, I'd either have Asuka or Rhea, just like literally the only person there who can kick ass and actually get consistent wins while everybody else is just flubbing about. And then in the Morris role, Madcap Moss. Because his stand-up career has failed him and it's driven him insane. Colleen. And now he's not sure what's funny and what's not, Tom. He's going to laugh and he's sadistic and he's twisted and he's Madcap Moss. Oh, no.
I like that.
What about you?
See, now I feel bad because for mine, I just put for comedy value.
This is what it's all about, though. I went too serious.
No, because mine is have every role played by Von Wagner.
Oh,
so no. They're all backstage skits, but they're like green screen.
Please say that they are not committing any form of financial resources to this at all.
No, it's him plus
multiple outfits, just literally quickly changing and then changing where he's standing and responding to where he was. And then he's quickly got to get his fucking Sullivan makeup back on. And he's like,
so by the end of it, he's sweating. He's got makeup half on, half off.
Yeah.
He's got two... He's got mixed up. Do you remember that time on Twitch where I did One Man Shakespeare?
Yes.
It's that.
Well, by week two, he's probably smartened up enough to have seen some old episodes of American Dad or something while he was, you know, lying there. You know, just some base level comedy while he's just lying there in his hotel room, knackered after all the quick changes. And he realizes that if he just paints himself up half of each, he can then do sideways on. But then he's got to do a quick change. And then he's got to do it again. And he needs a box for the Giant, obviously, because he's got to stand up. And it's a absolutely colossal mind fuck.
He'll whittle it down to a fine art. And he'll take away all the extraneous steps.
What you're saying is if he wants to stay employed, he's going to do what you say, Tom.
Absolutely. Same way if Hogan wants to stay employed.
What a callous boss.
If Hogan was... Same for Hogan. Before we move on from the mailbag, I want to give a special shout to a Twitter account that came to my attention that I gave a follow to the other day, which is Cultaholic Classic Reviews Out of Context.
Oh, nice.
I'm very happy. Thank you to whoever set up at Cultaholic OOC.
Thank you.
It's quotes from the Raw, SmackDown and Nitro Classic Reviews. Literally taking that out of context.
Let's get the Hanna-Barbera thing. Let's get that going. Come on.
Stick some of those bad boy quotes in there. That'd be greatly appreciated. You can email us classic@cultaholic.com for your thoughts, comments, and concerns. We're going to go into Nitro for this week very shortly, but quick look around the real world in February the 5th, 1996. Father of the Bride.
If you say Mariah Carey one more time, by the way, throughout this entire opening segment, I'm out. But anyway, okay. Father what?
Father Bride Part 2 is number one in the UK box office.
Yeah.
Black Sheep, the American comedy starring Chris Farley and David Spade.
I was going to say,
number one in the box office.
That took me by surprise a second there, because my brain immediately went to the New Zealand like sheep zombie Holocaust film.
Oh!
Which is brilliant.
That's a great film.
There's another one. There's a similar one set in Ireland called Grabbers. Which is about a bunch of people who, like, they're at the pub while an alien invasion happens, but the aliens, they work out that the aliens kind of sense movement and life based on brainwaves. So to survive, they have to try and defeat them, but they've got to stay as drunk as physically possible, which is another one in a similar vein.
So just sit in the pub and drink in the way to avoid the alien.
Well, no, they've got to go and proactively stop it, but they have to stay drunk, otherwise they'll be detected.
Wow.
So it's class.
It's almost like a nice spin on from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, it's
in
kind
a
of
weird
similar vein.
Kind of way. Yeah. The UK chart sees Babylon Zoo Spaceman in at number one.
I always wanted you to go into space, man.
We only ever remember the first part of that song.
Yeah, it slows down into like the kind of more grungy.
Sounds a bit placebo-y, like ground control, we come to take you.
Little bit, yeah.
It's a bit placebo-y.
Little bit. Not there's anything wrong with that, Tom.
No, wrong with that at all.
One of the greatest bands that came out of our fledgling 90s scene. And then Music Here died, and that was it. You had Feeder, you had Mannix, you had Placebo. How do you fuck it all up, Tom? You had Mean Fiddler running the festivals, and now it's just Festival Republic and BBC kicking them off a cliff one by one each year.
That it is. That it is.
I'm sickened.
And there is a song called One Sweet Day, top of the Billboard in the US. I can't redo it. Mary somebody.
Is it by Whitney Houston, Tom?
No, sadly not.
That's good, because if it was, I was going to wage war on the entire country of America. Just me.
It's good.
I was going to turn up on a flight, not even like announce it before, just turn up on a flight, walk up to like the gates of the White House and be like, yo, you and me. And then out comes Biden, and we have like an absolute, you know, like Inoki versus Ali, like that.
Oh.
Like barn burner of a match that is definitely remembered fondly and not for the kind of awkward fighting that went on within it.
It's the best part. February the 5th this week, British supermarket chains stock genetically modified tomato puree. This is important because it's the first GM food to be sold in this country.
Where do you stand on the whole GM thing? Because it was such a fucking huge deal back then, wasn't it? It was GM and then it was MSG and now it's still kind of like all floating about in the ether. But I reckon if you can make, like in The Simpsons, if you can, you know, add steroids to a tomato to make it the size of a beach ball, do it.
I think there's something to be said for, obviously, as long as there's no long-term effects.
Yeah, of course. GM yeah.
Food, that you can make more food to feed more people. Fail to see how that's a bad thing.
It's a nice thing, but what I really want, Tom, is you fuck all that off. I want a GM aisle in the supermarket where it's like, hey, here's a pepper, but it looks like a watermelon. And then you pick it up and bite into it. And you're like, holy shit, it's a giant bell pepper. Or like, here is a super realistic Abraham Lincoln bust. And you bite into it. It looks like he's just sat next to you. Bite into it. And it's ham. It's all ham.
Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
Can you imagine genetically modified Snickers? It'd be like the size of a small family car.
Christ, that'd give you a nut allergy.
Yeah.
Jeez, eating
it'd turn you into a nut.
So I've got nothing against GM. When it comes to MSG, I just wish they'd use the ramp down the middle.
Fuck's sake. Do you know the crack with monosodium glutamate, though?
Yeah, I wish they'd use the ramp down the middle.
But you know why it's so dangerous?
No.
It's the addictive factor in food, I remember being told in school.
Because it makes you want to go num num.
So when you eat like a couple of Pringles and the ones you pop, you can't stop that they can't say anymore because pills, ha ha. the whole thing kind of has this effect on you, like where it's like, oh, I just have a couple more. It's like McDonald's and all sorts of fast food and shit, which is why you see a lot of like no MSG now. And you see a lot of people kind of like, no, we don't do that. But it's... could you add it to shit? And people are like, oh, it's just so boorish.
Oh, delicious shit. So creamy. Oh, lovely.
Creamy.
I can't wait to go to the toilet again. We'd never buy food again.
Just sprinkle some in the loo after you're done.
Oh. Would you buy food again? You'd have to.
You'd have to because your human bodily waste is what? It's already taken all the nutrients it can from it, right?
Yeah.
So anything that's left stuff your body doesn't really want.
It's just like rinsing out a tea towel too much, isn't
it? Yeah, so you'd just be eating stuff your body didn't want over and over again, which to be honest is pretty much my diet.
It's what we
anyway.
Do all the time anyway.
I just eat Haribo all the time. and I don't think Haribo is one of the core food groups, no matter how much I... campaign for it.
I think there's a movement. Maybe think about GM Harry.
Look, if you look at all the
I think me and Alex bought we bought one of them. We bought like a novelty sized jelly bear. And it was grim.
Yeah.
It was heavy going.
I think the thing is, like, I've never seen Haribo do any giant ones, but whenever I've seen those giant, like, ridiculous sweets, they're all that kind of same shitty, sugary, like fruit sweet. Mm. Like, they're all trying to be like a Star Mix jelly bear, basically. But the taste's always wrong. It's far too perfumey. It's awful. But if it was Haribo, if it was an officially licensed Haribo product,
yeah, if Keith Haribo was the one.
Haribo should just be selling their stuff bottled, man. Like, how bad can it be for you?
Yeah?
Like 1,000 calories a bottle? Like two of those a day and that's you done.
Like liquid Haribo?
Yeah, they could like a meal replacement program.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is there something that's close to liquid Haribo? Would that actually be like neat squash? Would neat squash be...
Probably with a little bit of gelatin stirred in.
Yeah.
Kept at a moderate temperature.
That's delicious.
Beeswax is what Haribo uses, though.
Ah, see, I keep getting told to mind my own.
For fuck's sake. For fuck's sake. But yeah, they're awful. Bangers there today. Was a fucking gummy controller I remember once as well.
Stop it.
What are you supposed to do? Fucking pretend you're playing with it, get your grubby hand juice all over it, and then just eat half of it, throw it back in the packet, and then 2 days later after Boxing Day, you're like, ooh, and you're eating some moldy hand bacteria soaked like half controller that tastes like, I don't know, like Japanese grape flavor. I just can't get away with it. It's too perfumey, but it always tastes like that. It's that kind of
flavor. It's, what would you say, like, it's not acidic, it's like a it's the noise that Alex would make. It's a bit like a tackiness to it.
It's got like a clackiness.
A clackiness to it.
Yeah.
It's not very nice. Nice. In other news for this week, on February the 10th in 1996, IBM computer Deep Blue made the news. Do you know why?
Is this when it beats Garry Kasparov at chess?
Garry Kasparov.
Fucking poor Kasparov.
Looks at the lights for Deep Blue in the first time a computer has won a game of chess against a reigning human chess champion. Deep Blue's win is seen as symbolically significant, a sign that artificial intelligence was catching up to human intelligence and possibly the beginning of Terminator 2.
It was a big fucking deal, this. Like, a big deal. And the moment he makes the move, you can see. It's like the Ralph Wiggum tape. Like, if you've never seen it, it's fascinating. Like, the whole idea was that IBM were programming chess machines to try and take down somebody, and this is the point where it actually did. And as Tom said, it's this kind of AI victory. But Kasparov makes the move, and then immediately you can, like, frame by frame the point where he realizes and his heart breaks. And it's just like, there's just some guy making Deep Blue's moves for it. Just going... Plus, IBM are evil. Stanley Kubrick tried to warn you all about it. Do some digging.
Did.
They are a fucking evil company.
I get more and more terrified as I get older about technology.
Yeah.
And I think that was peaked over the weekend when a video did the rounds on Twitter. I don't know whether you saw this, of a robotics company in America.
Yeah.
That gave a snake legs.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. I saw as well today that the press who've been using the image didn't once contact the original upload of permission.
No.
But yeah, basic. It's ridiculous. But I think it's...
I don't think snakes needed legs.
No, but I think it's a useful way of kind of testing different stuff, isn't it? It's like, can you make more and more ridiculous things, and how can they move? Does this have a real world application? Can you do it this way or that way? Like, for that, imagine, like, because they have a lot of they've got a lot of cables that are kind of like snakes anyway. So if they put, say, a robotic cable camera, say they needed to get into the hull of a ship or something and it's docked but they can't get in, but if there's a small enough clearing to carry that thing through with that bit of drain pipe on top of it with that camera inside, then after it reaches a certain point, that camera can then climb up and go in, like, on its own. Then I could see the use. But like with an actual snake, I think it's just meme volley.
It is lol, look at that. It's but snake.
You know, there was another weird thing with technology that we did the other day, which should hopefully be out by now, which is the AI episode of Raw.
Oh my good God. Okay, if you... Now, there'll be Tom detractors who will be delighted to know that I think I nearly died watching this video. I genuinely think there was a moment where my heart fluttered. And as a man that has a history of heart palpitations, I think I nearly died at work watching AI Raw.
If you've not seen it, it should be on the channel
Jesus,
by now.
It's amazing.
I took a OpenAI writing software and used that to basically flesh out a script for Raw. So I went, okay, give me a card for an episode of Monday Night Raw, like a surprising card, shocking card, tried all these different combinations. Eventually got something that worked, and then it was like, okay, let's go from there, and just sort of tried to get it to write it segment by segment. And of course, it all has wonderfully disastrous effects, and the imagery is all AI generated, the voices are all AI generated, the script's all AI generated, the entrance music's all AI generated, and there's a couple of other things throughout, but yeah, it's something we've been working on for a little bit. Whenever you've heard me talk about, you know, secret
project,
that's one of them, but it's hopefully out there, and hopefully people have enjoyed it. I would very much like to do SmackDown if this one's successful enough and if it's got enough views. So, and I have better AI image software now, so I have a means to access very high quality, very stylized imagery that looks semi-realistic. So we can start taking it in weirder and weirder directions.
I think I'm not speaking out of turn. I think it's your magnum opus. I think this is your Michelangelo's, David.
There's a film review that is my favourite of all time. Or there's two, actually. One is Only God Forgives, and I believe it was The Guardian. It was Only God Forgives, and then the whole review was this level of tediousness, whatever, out of 10. And there's a review for The Room, like the famous, terrible movie, The Room. If you've not seen it, where the hell have you been? Like, just one of the worst films ever made, but the review was just The Citizen Kane of shit. And I think that is my benchmark when I just want to do stuff. It's like I want to make something that's so bad it's fun to watch. So.
And I think you've made... I think it is art. It is art. But let's not get it twisted. It is art.
You know, you can just buy one of those just to get back to the tech stuff. You can buy one of those like Boston dogs. They're like $12,000, but you can just buy one.
Can you buy one?
Yeah. I mean, you'd need to probably learn how to code it and use all the software and everything.
Oh, I thought it came like ready done. But it just go be a dog.
There'll be base settings where it like follows or does something, but you'll still have to learn something. But you could like just buy one, bring it to work, ride it to work if you wanted.
What a great day.
Yeah.
I'd buy it because my friend Jojo is like me, terrified of technology.
Yeah.
Like, but to an extreme level, like when Amazon Prime launched in Newcastle.
Yeah.
She was like, I showed her, and as she was over at mine, and we ordered something.
Oh, is it Prime Now?
Yeah, right, and it arrived within like an hour, and she went, someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting hurt. I was like, well, probably.
I don't think Amazon's exactly had a shimmering reputation in the
don't
press.
Know what you're talking about,
years,
mate. They're all walking out because they'd like to go to the shops together. That's all. Which is funny because they work at a shop, the silly geese.
Why do you need the toilet? Go on. You've got one at home, haven't you?
Just go at home.
Jesus. Poo. I only need to go to the toilet once a month, says Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Bezos only goes once a month. Why are we going multiple times? You weirdos. Anyway, that's the boring real world. In the world of the wrestling in WCW, well, this particular week they held a bunch of tapings of WCW Saturday Night at Universal. They've taped now up till April, which is ridiculous because it's February.
It's
they're all taped up for like the first quarter of the year.
All I can say is I am so happy we're not watching Saturday night.
Oh, well, we're missing some.
It's going to be fine initially, but that's going to start to get boring the second. There's got to be some interesting booking going on there, but booking and taping that much in advance.
You're asking for trouble.
I guess Nitro's sort of becoming the focal point, though, right? So it's the type of thing where just get it done.
And also, what they kind of tend to do is what they've done, according to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, which is where some of these stories come from, is that they'll just tape a bunch of matches, a bollock load of matches,
string it together,
and then they can put comms and stuff over the top that tells the story as they go.
All right.
But some of the tape from the tapings, not massively noteworthy. The taping returns receive some returning mid carders such as Ice Train. Yay! But the big thing that stands out,
Ice Train.
Yeah. He is the Ice Train. I'm hoping we get to talk more about Ice Train in the weeks to come. But it also sees a babyface turn for two members of the Dungeon of Doom that hasn't happened on telly yet.
Right.
And that being the Giant and Zodiac. They set this up by the ring announcer over the live PA, informing the crowd that they've really, like, the Giant's changed his ways and you've got to really get behind him today. So let's all hear you cheering for the Giant, because obviously on telly, still a wrong un.
Yeah.
But he's a good un on the tapings, and he's accompanied by his mate, He's a good Christian boy who has
He's just massive. He's fantastic. All for Jesus.
Comes out.
You know the guy.
Comes out in like a full priest's garb, and then just before the match, they quickly throw it up, the lights come back up, and he's just the Giant again. And the crowd are just confused, like, what the fuck?
I think we'll still cheer
for him, though. Just, he's a good Christian boy.
But whilst the Zodiac is a babyface, the Zodiac as a character is no more.
Which is not entirely surprising. For weeks now, we've had Ed Leslie jumping up and down in front of Hogan going, don't hurt my meal ticket. Like, what happens if he gets legitimately injured? I'm not going to get on any shows. You've had this build and build with the friend and all this crap where it's just Leslie wanting to, I don't know, another big face run as Brutus Beefcake, brother.
Pretty much.
And then he's going to join the NWO. Oh, whatever the fuck Hogan does, he's going to do it because that's it. He's...
Follow me.
I never got why people were so fucking, like, just adamant on how much of a shite arts Brutus is, but, like... Oh my God. I can't even begin. Like, he can't even be in a separate group, like, for too long.
He misses his friend too much.
Friend.
Feminined. Fromd. Anyway, he is no longer Zodiac. He is now going under the name The Clipmaster at the Saturday Night
Tapings. And then what does he become?
The Booty Man.
The Booty Man.
We got the Booty Man to come. Booty, 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 booty.
What's his NWO name? Is that The Butcher?
The Disciple.
The Disciple, that's it.
The Disciple. We've had The Butcher.
Yeah, The Disciple. The Disciple, he's in Assless Chaps. Well, everybody, Assless Chaps. All chaps are assless. I fucking know. But he's in, I just like how Assless Chaps sound. He's in Assless Chaps with gear on underneath, I think. And he's like a biker. And it's like, yeah. I will say, though, you know, he's the type of person where his face is so, and this is going to sound fucking awful, but so please don't quote me on it out of context. He's got such a fucking generic face that even like a change of haircut and some facial hair, he looks almost completely different. It's weird. Like, if you see any pictures of him as Hogan's cousin back in like the AWA, he doesn't look anything like him. Like, it's surreal. Like, but then the more you sort of like look, and it's like, yeah, no, the nose and the eyes. But it's like, initially you're like, who the fuck's that? It's that fuck? It's Brutus. Holy shit!
I find that probably getting hit with the boom of a parasail probably helped some.
Yeah. Well, I've heard so many different versions of that story, but I remember one of them was that he got hit in the face, like. Was it like I think they were on a jet ski?
Yeah.
And he collides with somebody or something, or somebody comes in parasailing, or he's parasailing, collides with something, but it's like terrifying. Like,
collapses his face.
Yeah, like he's lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
But then comes back, obviously, with all the facial reconstructive surgery and then the mask. And, you know, it's Brutus. Like, he doesn't look massively different. I remember a lot of people being like, oh, he doesn't look the same.
Because, again, he's quite generic looking.
And it's like, yeah, but it's sort of like he's able to just reinvent himself. But you put him in a loud jacket and give him those clippers, he's always Brutus, right?
I think he'll always be Brutus.
Yeah.
Always be Brutus. But anyway, in terms of the tapings, nothing else really happens. But, however, it was far more exciting at the hotel where the wrestlers were staying.
Oh, do regale me, Thomas.
Dave Meltzer. Go,
Tomothies. Tomphuses.
Thomases.
Potomphuses.
Potomphuses. That's what my mother shouts when I'm in trouble. In one that really did involve wrestling, except in one story that didn't really involve wrestling except in a peripheral way, says Dave Meltzer, at the Orlando Residence Inn, where many of the wrestlers were staying, there was a hostage situation.
Please indulge me more. It
was about midnight.
Was it Sid again?
Sadly, Sid was nowhere near with some scissors. At about midnight, a woman with a cane. No, at about midnight, a woman was thrown out of her room naked into 20-degree weather while the guy in the room barricaded himself in. The SWAT team had to come out with tear gas to get the guy out of his room. They had to evacuate all the rooms at the Orlando Residence Inn while this was going on, which included WCW wrestlers and officials. Now, the scene apparently was almost directly out of a bizarre movie, because not only did you have the SWAT team with guns and weapons targeted at the room.
Somebody trying to cover their modesty.
You've got a lady covering their modesty. You've got tear gas everywhere. On top of that, you've got Brian Pillman and Disco Inferno in character going around to all the residents telling them not to worry because the horsemen are on their way to save the day.
I'm assuming that it wasn't a WCW contracted talent or crew member that was involved in this altercation.
Just a male.
Just a weird coincidence.
A weird coincidence from a weird man who'd locked himself in his room.
Imagine, though, just Disco Inferno. He's got no right to be like, the horsemen are coming.
Exactly, he did. But Brian Pillman was telling people, in a minute, I'm going to jump in there and go and get
the
gun.
He should have been trying to raid through all their rooms for disco albums or something. Rhinestone gun.
Fucking money. Some of the wrestlers were at the Orlando Residence Inn. At least one of them was not, that being Johnny Grunge.
Right.
Who was arrested that evening.
Okay.
Because he decided, after a little bit of a drinking...
In Florida, getting arrested in Florida sounds pretty hard.
Yeah, it does, actually. Especially when you had a little bit of a drinky and decided, I'm going to go for a drive in a WCW production van.
Oh, fuck off. Like solo.
No, he was with Rocco Rock. They don't go anywhere. They're always together.
But they're both pissed and both in control of the vehicle.
But Johnny Grunge is driving.
Oh, my God.
Grunge is hammered. He's driving. The police stop him. And
out of the car. Are you good enough to take this back? Yes, sir. I'm grand. Yeah, I'll drive it back.
Now the van was straight into the back of the police car.
The
van was reserved for Doug Dillinger, who was driving it during that tour.
Okay.
And they don't know how Public Enemy got his keys. I like to think it was just like, hey, Doug, look over there. It's something.
Look at that woman there.
She's naked.
I like to think he was snoozing and they just they just reached over with a stick and he's got all of his keys on a nail because it's the 90s. And he's like, they're like picking them off and then they accidentally drop them and they're like, and he's like.
Yeah, just as he's about to get them, he goes.
Yeah, and they're like, huh, and they drop them and they've got to keep picking them up. And it's just kind of like Peter trying to get the frog off the ground and found the guy. Out the window. And then eventually they get him and like, yeah!
And then maybe a dog suddenly walks in and sees what they're doing and the dog's about to bark. You have to throw a biscuit to the dog to keep him preoccupied.
No, the dog's got something in its mouth it shouldn't have, like the WCW television championship. And it like looks at them and they look at it. And there's just kind of this moment of like, and the dog goes about his business. They go about theirs.
We have an understanding.
Drunk driving. Fucking hell.
Now, because Johnny Grunge, real name Mike Durham, had no prior arrests in the state of Florida, it's believed that DUI charge will involve no more than a slap on the wrists because Florida.
Naughty boy.
Naughty boy.
You know why it is you hear more about Florida than many other states, so Florida man's a thing?
Most fucked up state.
I think they've got this thing called Sunshine Laws, or is the Sunshine Law... but essentially it means that I think there's like rules in America about states being reported out of state, but Florida are like, no. So you hear more about Florida's craziness because they have transparency with the press, whereas maybe it would just be America man rather than Florida man if everybody else was as free and easy with the info. But then Florida is a pretty fucking wild place. It's hot. There's nothing to do but go to theme parks and eat at IHOP. And go wrestle some gators. So I don't know. It's quite kind of like the Australia of America, isn't it?
It's sort of
like everything's gonna kill you. It's you just gotta be on guard.
And it's quite touristy as well because like my folks go out there like once or twice a year now, and they they've talked about retiring there and just going living there. With some other expats.
2007-08 was the time because you could go get like a 5-bed McMansion for like $200,000.
Yeah.
Because the market had crashed so badly. Like, we went on holiday, we got a villa in 07, and the entire street but our house, and then the house behind us on the next street, except for us two houses, everything else was empty.
Jeez.
Because it was all just repossessed.
Oh, right.
It was like, fuck. But you could just go out, and it was awful, because obviously all these people being evicted from their houses, but immediately they were just like, up for sale. So they just kick the families out, and then you'd go get like a mansion for like 200 grand.
Bloody
with a pool and all sorts of stuff. Because, I mean, it was amazing because I bought a guitar for like a £1,000 guitar for like 500 quid. And it was like $2 to the pound. What the fuck?
Amazing.
And then we entered a recession. But by that point, it didn't matter because I had my half-off guitar. So
I had everything I wanted.
And then the recession came back for me in my 30s. And we're going to see how that goes. So it's ongoing.
It'll be, we'll be fine. Yeah. Like, we'll all just get on OnlyFans. It'll all
buy
be fine.
GameStop stock, everybody. It'll solve all of our woes.
I'd
Superstone to the moon. Doge.
I should get into the. I should do more stocks and stuff. I feel like there's something to be done there.
It's. I'd say if you're curious about it, go in there with no more than like 50 quid and have a little flutter
and just see how you get on. And is if it it's
Bed Bath and Beyond's
to
exploding right now? Just get on Wall Street Bets and have a look why at what
is,
all the
why
idiots
is
doing.
Bed Bath and Beyond?
I have no idea, but if it's anything similar to GameStop, there's this. You can so when you buy a share, you're like. I believe this share is worth more because I believe this company's worth more than it is now. So if you buy, say, 100 shares at a dollar, you have 100 shares. Sorry, 100 shares at a dollar a piece, you pay 100 quid for that. And then it goes up to, say, $2,000 a share, which is ridiculous. It wouldn't. But like, if it goes up to, say, I don't know, like $100 a share from that point, you've increased your thing 100-fold or whatever. But with GameStop, you can do this thing called short selling, which is where somebody bets against the stock.
Ah.
And so they're betting on it doing badly. And then GameStop became its own weird hill to die on. And it's still going up and down and doing all sorts of crazy shit. But essentially, it's mired in controversy because somebody turned off on some of the larger brokers that are more accessible, like app ones and stuff. They turned off the buy and sell buttons at specific times where people could have made a lot of money or got stuff very cheap. And it was all this big kind of, you can't do that. That's market manipulation. And it's evolved into this huge thing. And now everybody's just kind of plugging their ears going, la, 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 la. It's weird. But yeah, if you want to just go and look at some loss porn as well, which is always interesting, where people go, okay, this one worked out really well. And you see what they started with versus what they end up with. It's a fun subreddit to check out.
Lost porn. Like, yeah. Just see, like,
and then you get game porn where somebody turns like 10 grand into like 700 and you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah, I feel like I'd need to look at that. I feel like lost porn would make me too nervous about like losing
everything.
Yeah,
I'd say go in with like 50 quid. Like go in with something you're not too bothered about losing. Find a company you're interested in and that you can afford a share of at least and just go.
NFTs have gone quiet, haven't they?
Yeah, I think NFTs were always going to be a bit of a bubble thing because I think they have value in a different way. I don't think it's going to be a case of, hey, do you want a fucking JPEG? I've already got saved. I think it's, and you know, I know it's a lot deeper than that for any NFT madhead listeners we've got out there. But that's how the bulk of the world sees it. But I think that NFTs and blockchain could be used for a lot more real world stuff. For instance, like digital codes for things. Why can't you sell those back on? Is there a way that they can be sold on? So if you have a digital copy of a game, as we move away from physical discs, it's going to be harder and harder. It's impossible to trade them in. So is there a way you can digitize that, take that single-use code off somebody so that they can't use it again and give it to somebody else?
That's a good shout. I had
but
an
then
issue.
It'll start a black market probably, so they'll have to officiate it via Sony or whatever else.
Because I got given, in a similar note, I got given an Uber Eats voucher.
Yeah.
But it was in dollars.
Okay.
And I unwittingly put it on my account and realized I can't use this because it's in dollars. So I went back and
forth. Order a pizza to a random house in Florida.
And that's and this is the thing. When I went back and forth with Uber Eats, they even said I can't even use it in America because my account is based in the UK. So I was like, What do I do with this? They said I couldn't.
I'm sure I've
maybe
used
it's
Uber
all right
Eats
then. Maybe I'll wait till I get to America. But like, what do I do with this then? And they went, nothing, sorry. Like it just sits there. Like, can I not even just give it to someone else?
You can flaunt your cash. You can be like, $11.
Here's some dollars I cannot use. Thanks.
Yeah, the world's scary.
It's a scary place. Quite scary if you're Big Daddy Cool Diesel this week. Now, Dave Meltzer says that WCW Saturday Night have been putting out some new bumpers to plug the show. And the bumpers randomly include a clip of Vinnie Vegas getting beaten up, which WWF have taken as a little, you got to fuck.
You're going to make our champion look bad, are you? He's the greatest drawn champion of all time and nobody can ever prove that he's not.
But then WWE, as the forever they are silly buggers, on the night that Dr. Britt Baker won the AEW title, that was the time they decided to share on YouTube, hey, look at Nia Jax dominating this enhancement talent that just happens to be Britt Baker.
It's the carny side of the industry.
It's so carny.
It's the lightest.
So carny.
It's like a fingernail deep. Like, if that, the very tip of a fingernail deep on the carny meter. But it's that kind of thing that you'll see the most rather than the real deep dive screw job style shit. But when that does happen, it's going to be just as shocking as ever. But yeah, carny, man. Carny.
Incredible. Before this Nitro started, we'll get into it in a second, Conan had a fight with Devon Storm in a dark match. Now, it was supposed to be a match for them to sort of fine-tune their teamwork to set up a match on Nitro for the following week. However, it's not looking likely that match will happen because Devon Storm looked really bad in it. And Devon Storm has not looked terrible.
No.
And he's popped up on Raw a couple of times.
We'll go on to have greater success in WCW later, obviously. Mm. But it's weird when you hear stuff like that where it's like, I always thought you were like pretty solid.
Maybe some people just don't
know. It's just, I guess that's it, though, because it takes two to tango, right? So not everybody's going to be a good match.
And
Luger and Hulk Hogan, like Lex Luger and Yokozuna, like Lex Luger and Kevin Nash, like Lex Luger and Goldberg, like Lex Luger and just endless.
Oh, he's here this week. You'll be glad to know. But
you'll be glad to fucking know. I've just watched the show.
No, you'll be glad to know. I mean, I'm talking to the Pete. I'm talking to you listening.
So am I. Get out your credit card.
Singular person.
Right, get out your credit card. Memorize the numbers, right? And send them to me.
Learn the following numbers. Let's get into Nitro. Eric Bischoff boasts that Nitro is the most watched wrestling program each and every week. Not true. They beat Raw last week, but Raw beat them the week before. They promote the uncensored steel cage matches. Sorry, these are the steel cage matches for Super Brawl,
yeah.
Sorry. And Hogan's bad eye that could play a factor. Hogan's got a gammy eye.
He's blind.
He's blinded.
We'll get into it.
Pepe's outfit for the week.
It looks like fucking Wendy. Is he supposed to be Wendy from Wendy's?
I think he's meant to be Wendy from Wendy's.
Well, I want a Baconator, Pepe. I want a Baconator right now. Or a double-double.
Wendy.
They don't cut corners, Wendy's. They're fucking banging.
No, they make square burgers.
Exactly. Squirgers.
I'm all about a squirger. I believe it evolves into a Bulbasaur.
What do you think about lawn sausage, squashage?
I'm all right with it.
It's one of the greatest Scottish inventions ever.
Squashage, yeah.
I'm all right with it. It fits perfectly between bread.
I think because the meat, it's all coming from the same place. Why do we have to accept the sausages?
Why have we got to eat mini sausage dicks? Why can't we eat sausage triangles?
Why are they shaped
why
like that?
Why can't we eat sausage dinosaurs?
Inquiry minds want to know, why do we accept the fact shapes? that's what sausage is shaped like?
Why do we accept the fact that they have massive printing machines and they can make like Thomas the Tank Engine spaghetti, but they can't make a giant spaghetti Thomas the Tank Engine out of potato like a giant potato waffle?
Oh!
Just scale it up.
Of course you can.
Press it out of that. And then I want a giant Thomas the Tank Engine that will fill like the extra large Toby Carvery plate.
Oh!
And that's
a lot of patat.
No, that's about your five a day.
Have five of them a day and
Thomas potato shapes. Jeff one of your five a day.
Jeff Bezos will be delighted because you won't be shitting for weeks.
Rolls off the top.
Stop rolling out your ass.
Like a fucking steam train.
Jeff Bezos' solution going, hey, look, I'm sorry about all the stuff about toilet breaks. Here is a peace offering, a massive Thomas the Tank-shaped potato.
It's going to go one of two ways with that fucker, isn't it? It's going to go either, right, Amazon staff, here is your weekly mandated meal, and they are served a full banquet each, or the more likely way is that Jeff Bezos is already developing some form of nutrient pill that will give you all of your daily calories and make you feel not hungry, and it'll basically just be meth, but with the added calories, and it'll be a pill. And that's when we will move away as a workforce from breaks and food and enjoyment and taste and flavor and memory, and instead we'll just eat Soylent green pills. And don't worry about what they're made of, folks. Definitely not the workers who tried to strike. Oh, Jeff Bezos, biggest heel ever.
And then when it all becomes robots and we're just
he
cast
comes
out.
To the WWE, right?
That's, yeah, when we get this dystopian thing, but then when all robots do all jobs and we're just sort of cast out into the cold, but like we're so hooked now on Soylent Green. Like,
yeah,
what do
and
we
the
do?
Only way just to get these... it is to work for Amazon.
Yeah, but there's no jobs.
No.
No Amazon jobs.
No.
Gosh.
And then you'll own nothing and be happy. Let's go for more tinfoil stuff. World
happy
World Economic Forum, anybody?
Happy day of the Christmas bee. I like to think that as well as a classic Nitro review, you're slowly getting like a dystopian George Orwellian
it's an
audio book.
It's an iceberg video in very slow motion, is what this is.
By the time we get to Nitro,
I'm gonna be talking about how the moon's a fucking projection in the sky.
I need to start timestamping.
Or how there's an Earth inside of our Earth.
I'm going to timestamp from now on all the bits where we go into these discussions. And then we'll do like a best of dystopian future podcast. For it's like 3 hours of us going, here's what the world's going
to
be like.
I would love nothing more than to just be able to do a channel that breaks down conspiracy theories. Like, it's all I sit and read. Because some of it is like ridiculous. Some of it's a bit like, meh. And then some of it turns out to be true many years later, and it's like, whoa, the US government was actually experimenting on its own people with acid and shit.
The government is actually bees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What if the government is bees?
Just all bees. Just
what about the Christmas bee?
He's one of the bees.
That bastard. I'm happy he died.
I mean, come on. The clues are all there.
Under that glass.
Jeff Bezos.
Motherfucker.
Jeff Bezos.
It's wheels within wheels.
It was there in front of us all the time. Soylent bees was people.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's get into Nitro. What a way to kick off Nitro. Randy Savage defending the WCW World title. Now, I knew who this was going to be when on the network it just says, Randy Savage defends the WCW Championship. I went, oh, I know who this is.
Yes, Macho Man versus Chris Benoit. For the World Heavyweight Championship as well.
Benoit getting a title shot?
Yeah.
What is this?
Like, you can tell that the booking committee were like, Randy, it's not Hulk, fuck him, get him out first.
To be fair, Hogan curtain jerk last week.
I reiterate. Randy doesn't have fucking pasta restaurants.
Yeah, Slim Jim though.
Yeah, but he takes half of that money home with him.
As he should.
He's not Hogan. He's not entitled to take home money.
Do you think he had like loads of Slim Jims in his house? That he
oh, yeah.
Like you open a cupboard, he goes, do you want one? Because I just got all these. I can't get rid of them.
I imagine he would have had something like something akin to a giant Pez dispenser, custom made. But instead of like the you know, like fucking like Bugs Bunny bobblehead, it's just a Macho Man bobblehead on like a neon green Pez tube. But instead of it spitting out Pez's, it spits out full Slim Jims. He's doing like, I don't know, like sit-ups or something, or pull-ups on like an impossible, well, yeah, sit-ups on like a table that's really high, and he moves the table up close to it. And then every time he sits up, he just takes a bite out of the Slim Jim.
So where's the when does the Slim Jim come out?
The top at the mouth, but it's going to be like 6-7 feet. So he's going to have to balance like a table and a chair and then lie on that and do his sit-ups and then he can eat it.
But then,
or if he did pull-ups, I guess it would make a lot more sense.
But what you've done there is essentially in order to eat a Slim Jim, he has to kiss his own mouth.
Yeah. And he's got to take that Slim Jim whole each time.
Kiss his own mouth every time. He's giving himself a kiss every time. He's like, could I not just put them in a cupboard? No, this is the only way.
Those guests around, would you like a Slim Jim? Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
Go on, get up there.
You just hear like, ooh, he's moving the fucking, moving the dinner table halfway across the room. And then he's like, oh, shit, how tall are you? Oh, you're a good foot shorter than me. Pulls it like a fucking side table and then like a reclining chair. And he just sort of balances
it. You might need to stand on your tippy toes.
Nearly fall off three times. I'm going to do the first sit up and immediately have to deep throat the fucking Slim Jim and kiss Randy while he sits there going, fuck you. Looking at you.
Yeah, he doesn't break eye contact. There's that little sensor.
No, he actively lifts the glasses up so that you know he's watching you.
When the statue of Savage has sensors, you have to make eye contact in order for the.
If you don't, it just calls you like a punk.
Yeah,
it goes
look
off
at,
on one.
Look at me, and you have to look directly at it so it comes. And if you lose eye contact, it goes whoop back in. So you have to look the whole time. Have we made this as awkward as possible?
Never really took off over here because pepper armies are slightly shorter and we'll get jammed. So there's more something for the American market because Slim Jims are ridiculous. But yeah.
Hey, what happened after a while is that
people were fucking 7-foot-tall head Slim Jim dispenser just in your living room. There'd be some collector out there now just be like, yeah I've got six of them.
This one,
I've got six of them. This one's actually the rare powder coated model. There's only three of these babies in existence. And two got destroyed on Nitro. Only kissed it twice. Whereas this one, he shows his other one, like what he's had since he was a kid. And it's just like, it's just all that exposed, like yellowy plastic around the mouth and the paint's all worn off.
And a tear.
And just grease, just a year's worth of buildup of just grease just coming down from all the Slim Jims.
A single tear rolling down the eye that suggests it might
be fucking marketing geniuses. Get us back to the 90s right now.
Fuck, mate,
I've got a film that will blow their mind in 96. It's called The Matrix, right? I wrote it.
Johnny and the Clonosaurus. You messaged me, I think, was it 10:30 or something that on the night after we recorded the last episode? And you went, can't stop thinking about this 90s promotion.
Yeah, the 90s promotion thing I want to do. I'm thinking more, you could do it like an art piece, like a performance art piece, but I don't know. I kind of want, I'm in love with the idea of doing it to film it to, you know, because now pay-per-view and iPay-per-view is such a big market for indie wrestling. The thought of just filming it and then immediately binning off live pay-per-view and releasing it on VHS is so shit that I want to be the person that everybody's going, what the fuck are you doing to? And I'm just like, losing money. Just like putting more VHS in the boxes.
I'm just bored of losing some money. Just that'd be a good idea. I've had this idea called The Matrix.
I'm trying to kickstart it. I need a time machine first, though.
But your version's slightly different, right? Your version's slightly different because you've got what's Lawrence Fishburne's character called?
Morpheus.
You got Morpheus. He's like, okay, if you want to stay here or do you want to, like, you know, go and see what the real world is? And he goes, I want to see the real world. And he goes, okay. And he opens his cupboard door and there's a 7-foot Randy Savage. Take the red pill. From his mouth.
And then there's one which is just glacier and it's ice pops.
Where do the ice pops come out, though?
Oh,
sorry, much lower. They realized the error in coming out of the mouth. They went, we must put them much lower down. And also, we realized that the mechanism's too quick. So this one, you've got to take a little longer
It gives you a couple of chances. It plays a little game where it's like, oh, 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 oh.
And when you've got it
and
right,
then it shoots it on your face.
And when you finally got the mouth around it and you get it right, just to confirm that you've done it correctly, it goes, oh, so yeah.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, listeners. Oh, fucking. Is that the glacier one that does
That's
the Randy
glacier
Savage
one,
oh, yeah.
Where the ice pops a bit lower
it's
down.
It's not. We reuse the voice boxes, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to stop making the old model, there's no reason you should. I mean, people don't know what glacier sounds like. Probably sounds like Randy Savage is a wrestler.
It's true. You wouldn't know, would you?
Yeah.
That glacier when they released.
Stick a little like flanger over the top, so it's like, you know, making like a, you know, when you're talking to a fan. When you're talking to like a fan and it gives you that weird effect. That's glacier.
Have you tried the chocolate flavor? And it's in the same compartment.
It's the like, one, two. Oh, no, no. Like, in fact, just before the... No, yeah, one, two, three. And then afterwards, Glacier gets on the mic and he's like, I told you you should have cooled. And then, like, steam comes off him. And then he just disappears to the back.
I'm made of ice. He's a shit puns, Glacier. Do you get it? You want an ice cream? No, shut up, Glacier. Anyway, Benoit versus Savage.
Match one.
Well, fuck me. 1 hour in. 1 hour in. Oh, match
this
one.
This is a new record. I love this. I love the new format.
Savage walks out with woman, Elizabeth, and a lovely spooty bit of pyro. Benoit, fuck me, dominates.
Yeah, straight on it.
This whole match.
Straight on it.
Savage gives like, him everything.
They're back and forth in the corners. They're absolutely leathering, like, well, Benoit's leathering into him and throwing him round. And Randy gets maybe one or two moments. And then he just keeps, Benoit's just straight on it, straight on it, straight on it.
Love it, love it. Hogan's watching backstage confused, like, how is this putting him over, brother? I don't understand. Yeah. you're losing. Savage, Savage only gets into this match.
Yeah.
Because, like, properly, because he's knocked outside the ring by Benoit. Benoit goes for a dive through the ropes. Savage moves, literally collapses out of the way. Benoit clatters into the barricade. But don't worry if you thought, oh, maybe he's all right because he didn't quite hit the barricade. He was safely cushioned by the hard concrete on the floor.
Yeah, so it looks like when Randy moves on the dive, it looks like Benoit comes out at the usual angle straight. Obviously, Randy moves, so there's no Randy there to stop him. Because whenever I'd see this talked about, its hands go out, and then you need to try and get your feet down as fast as possible so that you can kind of keep your momentum upright. But instead, he just kind of goes, and ends up at an angle like that-ish. Like, if you can see this, if you're on Patreon. And then, yeah, he just drives not just into the barricade, though, like the foot of the barricade, which if you've seen, like, the old 90s-style crowd-separated barricades, they're everywhere. You'll have seen one. They've got those kind of angled-out little feet like that. There's a set at each side, and they are, like, the toughest bit. They're on the floor. They're the closest to the floor. They absorb a lot of impact. They're built for leaning on. They're quite sturdy and just, yeah, head just straight into it. It's bad. And then commentary's just like, oh, smashing his skull against the metal there. And it's like, yeah, just a little bit, man. Oh, fucking hell.
Christ. So, but Savage gets him back into the ring to drop a diving elbow off the top. And they're like, okay, yep. He's going to retain the title. This is all looking fine. But no. Suddenly, Savage, as he goes for the pin, Ric Flair hits the ring side area.
And that's not all.
He's wearing a white jumper and his ring pants. He is wearing the Tom takes the bin out at 5 a.m. look.
And that's not all. You were like, of course, he's wearing a white jumper.
And his pants. That is, of course.
The fucking cultaholic fashion review. Listen, I've watched House of Gucci. I know everything about fashion now.
It's just more the fact I've literally taken the bin out wearing what Ric Flair was wearing there. Because it's so early, I think I won't see anybody. So then he uses Liz as a shield to stop Savage from getting to him. Because Savage's like, I'm going to get you. But then with Savage's backs turned...
Uh-oh!
It's Woman with a cane! Woman attacks Savage!
Yeah.
What?
Who could have seen this coming?
Smellness.
Yeah, so it all kind of devolves into oh my God, she's betrayed. Oh, no. Oh, raw. Oh. And then, you know, they're stomping a hole in him. Arn's there.
Arn legs it out.
They're absolutely wailing on Randy. And then who comes out to make the save? Fucking oh, he's hell. Blind. He's not. He's not blind at all. He's got his chair and he's perfectly fine, except he's got a tiny little bit of tape.
It is, of course, Hulk Hogan, or as Eric Bischoff calls him, the Hogan Moving and Storage Company.
The reason we're all here. The one man who invented wrestling.
Woman leaves under the arm of Flair as Hogan makes... Hogan just stands in Savage's light. Mean Gene jumps in for the interview like he's Joe Rogan after Conor McGregor's leg fell off. Savage is too hurt to talk, but don't worry, Hulk Hogan's here and he'll take on the interview. It's fine. Yeah. Right, and then we get some bollocks. So he's talking to Mean Gene. About like, oh, I'm going to get that stinky giant. I'm going to get Ric Flair.
It's largely just like, oh no, what's going to happen on Sunday? And
tight camera angle.
Yeah.
Mean Gene is trying to alert Hogan to something behind him. And Hulk's going, no, shut up. Let me talk. I'm not paying attention to what you're trying to tell me.
Fuck you, Gene.
Yeah.
Give me the microphone.
As Elizabeth.
I made you a star, Gene. I got you this job, Gene. Don't you ever take that for granted, Gene. I am Terry.
Hear me roar.
The immortal Terry, hear me roar.
As and as he's talking to Gene and telling him off for trying to disrupt, stop trying to distract me, Flair from behind, turns Hogan round, clocks him in the eye, and then takes off the little bandage that is there and is just wailing on the eye.
And bearing in mind, it's not bandage. It's like a tiny piece of stitch tape. It's the tiniest little thing. And then who runs out to be like, no, don't hurt my friend.
Well, first Giant comes out with the chair, and he's going to hit Hogan with the chair. And then there's Zodiac, who, as you say, comes out and stands
don't
over
hit
Hogan.
My friend with
no,
the chair.
Friend. To which Giant, 4 weeks into this, has still not gone. Mate, what the fuck?
I'd have just wound up harder.
I'd have fucking
swung for the fucking fences.
I'd have
screamed home run as he landed in the fucking last row.
How Giant is just like okay with this, I don't get it. But anyway, Giant is led away by Zodiac, and Flair takes a powder as well. Savage is coming too at this point, and he gets on the mic that's held by Gene, and he fucking scolds Liz. Why didn't you warn Hogan about the blind side?
You know I can't think for myself.
Yeah. Here's the fucking thing, Savage. You were out cold, right? Why are you having a go at Liz? But then that was
it's her fault.
That
right?
was my initial thought.
It's Liz's fault because Liz needs to know everything, right?
It was my initial
She's
thought.
Always gossiping, but no, second it's an important bit of news about Randy and Randy getting betrayed. No, suddenly she doesn't know.
To be fair, though, I wound it back and I went, she should have warned him because unless she's like a bolting horse and can only see directly in front of her and is blinkered, she could have easily seen Ric Flair sneaking up on her. Easily seen a peroxide blonde man wearing a thick white jumper sneaking up on Hogan.
I can't speak for myself because I've never been in the situation. I don't think you've been in the situation either. But we don't know how severe macho badness really is. It might
true.
Give you tunnel vision.
Have you or someone you know been affected by macho madness?
Oh, mesothelioma.
I'm on my third booster for macho madness.
Yeah, just imagine what you just get an unquenchable thirst for Slim Jims.
Mm-hmm. taken from the mouth of Savage.
Yeah, you've got to get him out of the sit-up machine.
Washed down with a Ecclesia knob, lolly.
And you were only allowed to wear neon colours. That's it. Your life is forever changed.
I don't know whether they were trying to tease a Liz heel turn, because fuck me, is it just because we've gone 2 weeks that Savage going, I don't trust you? Are we back here again?
Maybe.
Is Savage's
maybe,
whole thing to not fucking trust anyone
maybe
other than
it's also,
the least trustworthy person in wrestling?
Maybe it's also a way to kind of humanize Liz, because the whole thing is obviously like it's what people fell in love with Liz for in the first place was that Liz was an ordinary human being.
She was good at spotting people approaching.
But in the middle of all of this, she was an ordinary human being who was just kind of thrust into the spotlight from the storylines way back in the day.
Mm.
You know, all the iconic moments, her on Randy's shoulder and everything. Liz was an every woman. She was just the ordinary person off the street. So I think if you kind of, not that they've probably thought this deep about it, but a way you can humanize her is to have her, you know, not quite aware of when she's to warn people or when she's to, you know, because she's just on the outside. But by this point, she's been in and around wrestling rings for so long that she should have at least gone, Randy, no, it's Rick, and then got out the way.
That's it. I see what you're saying here.
Like, it's a way to kind of go, oh, she's not quite fully aware because she's a bit deer in the headlights still. But it's like, yeah, but you can't really keep playing off the deer in the headlights thing when she warmed to a prior audience. So I don't know if it was that or whether it was just a case of mistiming or forgot to shout or whatever.
The fact that they're drawing attention to it. Yeah. Makes, and the thing is,
oh yeah,
like,
it is just a storyline. Like,
yeah, because every wrestling, you can script everything. So you'd like to think that every beat means something. And I hope that if they're drawing attention,
you are well
to
watching
it,
WCW in 96,
I
right?
I know. I it's wishful thinking on my part. That every beat in wrestling should lead to something,
yeah,
because it's scripted and it's not just like, yeah. Anyway, never mind the bollocks. Benoit looked bloody great against the world champion.
Yeah.
Lest we fucking forget.
Looked fantastic. Like, yeah. Randy really, really let him just run over him.
He did. And it doesn't hurt Savage. And it makes Benoit look like, whoa.
Look like he's
on
the
any
shit,
other night.
Which he should be anyway, because he's in the fucking Horseman. Like, that's the thing that I think, you know, it's the power of the Horsemen, right? They only work with serious people who are, like, driven. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it just works. But if it was any other kind of, you know, Joe Midcarder, wouldn't be anywhere near as much offense getting in there, I don't think.
Well, we'll see later on when Joe Midcarder squares up to another member of the Horsemen. More Horsemen action after a Le Break. A match set up last week on Nitro. It's the Taskmaster and Hugh Morris taking on Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman of the Horsemen, the heel faction who just attacked the babyface champ and now the babyface tag team in a tag match. Like, yeah, that's some shades of grey. Some shades of grey booking there. Is that what we're calling it? Shades of grey?
I don't know. This shades match has a very good long-term story.
It is.
Very good long-term storyline element in it.
It has, but yeah. Then you're muddying the water by also having Flair and the Horsemen go after Hogan and Savage and have the Giant in there.
Yeah.
And they've kind of amalgamated with the Dungeon of Doom, but not quite. It's like when they've meshed up with... It's like in The Office where they get Swindon Branch.
Yeah.
It's like they're not quite... It's not quite working. As far as we hoped,
yeah.
None of the interesting ones came out. It's not quite working, but it's happening. Pillman is wild on his way to the ring. Again, we didn't see Pillman during the Horseman beatdown of Hogan and Savage,
mm-hmm.
And it just adds to that. And this is the bit about Pillman I love, is that he doesn't fit the Horseman.
No, not at all.
At all. But I love the fact that they go, well, actually, you know what? When he's on his game, he's brilliant. Like, he's a horse we're trying to train.
That's it. It's the fact that they're trying to break him in. But he's just so unpredictable that they're like, fuck, there's like a lot of talent there. But we just need to get his head straight so that he, you know, starts behaving more like a horseman. Because he's a good, valuable tool to have on our side rather than against us.
Yes.
So they suffer a lot. For Pillman's indignities, I guess, if you want to call it that, as a horseman.
As much as we're enjoying Pillman, the end is nigh.
Yeah.
Because they announce on commentary for Super Brawl, the respect match has been signed,
mm-hmm.
which is the Taskmaster versus Brian Pillman
in a leather strap where commentary describes it as when you're in there and you're all wet. And the strap gets all wet and your opponent starts slapping you with it when it's all wet. They really wanted to talk about that wet strap quite a lot.
there's some strange moments, actually, from Mongo, who he's better than he was when he started.
Yeah.
In fact, to nip back to it, the where Hogan gets his eye bust open,
yeah,
and Bischoff's putting on the serious voice like, oh, can we get some medical team out here because Hogan's struggling. Mongo just punches the tension by going, hey, get your suture kit. Like, no, Mongo, we're being serious now. And like you say, it's Mongo going, oh yeah, oh, you're wet and you're wet and you're wet and you're wet. Oh, do do do. Look at the dog. It looks like Wendy. he's So the respect match has been signed. This will be the last stand for Brian Pillman in Dub C Dub. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that next time.
And he comes out and shoves around a cameraman at the start of this match, and Bischoff's all like threatening Pillman in a way that Pillman can't or won't ever likely hear. Just like, well, if it happens again, oh, I heard word from the truck that if he does that again, we just don't show him.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when he's in the ring there, Eric. How are you going to handle that?
Just pixelate him out like someone who didn't get signed off for Cops.
Just a close shot of his opponent the entire time. Can't see anything else.
Hugh Morris overpowers Pillman and Arn Anderson, forcing the Horsemen to reset. He does some military presses and hoys them both down.
It's largely Pillman and Morris kind of doing the bulk of the physical stuff early on in it.
Yeah, they're doing the heavy lifting here.
Yeah.
Pillman, as you say, sizes up a cameraman, and Bischoff tells the truck that if he does it again, he's got to stop pointing the camera at him altogether, as you rightly put. The Horsemen are fighting back with Arn doing a standing spine buster on Hugh Morris. I don't know whether he just doesn't commit to the bit with Hugh because he's a much bigger boy.
It's, well, the pace slows down from this point. It becomes more kind of meticulously grinding for a little bit. So I don't know if it was just kind of like a full stop kind of, oh, quickly put him down, right, now get him into a headlock or something.
Maybe. Morris gets a tag to Sullivan, and then Pillman gets tagged in, and then, oh, we see real fighting.
Yeah.
Shoot fucking, fighting.
Fucking, those fists are flying, and flying fast and hard. It is just straight up, and then there's a point where Sullivan's on top of him and commentary's like, he's biting him. And it just looked like Sullivan was just leaning in close and giving him some obscenities. It was just like, oh.
They're scrapping, they're scratching, there's closed fists, there's biting. There's a bit where I think Sullivan hangs Pillman upside down, runs to give him something in the corner, and Pillman immediately no-sells it, gets back to his feet. And
he lays in like the hip attack, I think, and then, yeah, straight up.
Oh, that's it. It's a hip attack, that's it. And then it just takes it. It's a shoot, brother. Shoot.
Well, yeah, the way they stumble to the Matt after that is quickly kind of like, oh shit.
And the comms kind of, Bischoff does a very good job here of kind of not going, oh, it's a real fight, but kind of paring back a bit what he says to kind of let it breathe and go, oh, well, that's, oh, these, well, these two are.
While Mongo's just like,
okay, you're so tricky. I'm a commentator.
I love Mongo.
Ah, yeah, no disrespect to Mongo. The match falls apart from here. We see Arn squaring up to Sullivan, and they end up fighting towards the ramp. And just as it looks like Arn's going to pile drive Sullivan on the ramp, an unseen assailant knocks out Anderson with a broom.
Who is the assailant? Oh, it's an arm. It's an arm.
Anderson.
Arm Anderson.
It's a floating arm.
Arm Anderson arm.
It's a floating arm.
It's, yeah.
They brawl all the way up the fucking ramp for an arm to poke out behind the curtain. Not with like a chair, not with a 2x4. With a fucking push broom that you'd use in your kitchen to quickly pick up some like crumbs, like that. It's like that. It's like bonk. It's not even.
Go to horny like, jail.
It's literally just bonk. With the broom end as well. It's like if I was going to wind up and hit somebody, you'd hit them with the other end, the handle end.
Well, it depends. It depends if it's a wooden broom. It's got a lot of weight, that brush bit.
Yeah,
and
you
could scratch the face as they go.
I think you'd kill somebody with a wooden broom.
I think so. It is super effective because Arn is down. And then Kevin Sullivan heads back to the ring, gets the leather strap that when you're all wet is going to be all wet.
Yeah.
Gets in the ring, but before he can do anything with it, the ref goes, ah, fuck it, ring the bell.
Ring the bell. Match is thrown out. See you later.
No one's winning this.
I'm getting paid regardless of the result. See you in the back.
After which point we see the No Laughing Matter moonsault hit by Hugh Morris. Yep. And then he holds Port Brian Pillman down as he gets lashed just a couple of times before scurrying out of the ring. We'll see you at Super Brawl for the respect match.
That's right. Buy it.
Buy the match.
Buy the pay-per-view.
See more whipping of wet bodies.
We will change his gimmick to be Morrison's. I think Morrison's could have used a spokesperson. If he was a face, you know, they could have maybe used him in some adverts.
Get these GM strawberries!
Is it Safeway's? Safeway's had those really big and popular adverts with the two kids in the store at the time. Tesco have always had pretty good marketing.
Yeah, Tesco's always like...
Morrison's, Asda used to the little ass pat.
Pop your bottom.
The cashback one.
You saved some money.
And yeah, like you could have had Hugh Morris there threatening people and telling them to get to Morrison's.
His whole thing.
Just turns up in an advert and he's just horrible. And he's just doing that unhinged, like laughy, cry, serious face, like giggling face, like just wild eyes. And he's just like, fucking bacon's fucking... a third off, and he's just holding it up, just like shaking, throws it down
on his face.
And then there's a Slim Jim, and he just kind of like starts cackling maniacally as the camera cuts away. It's like it's reminding him of Randy. They could have made a mint and not had to have had Hugh Morris on the TV shows. It would have been grand.
And the advert always ends with him going, ha! Go to Morrison's.
It's some fall. Oh,
darling, let's go to Morrison's this weekend.
It's some horrific fall from grace, like on a real note with Bill DeMott and you know, everything that would later come out, because Hugh Morris was, for somebody of his build and size, I mean, you can see why he was respected enough at one time to be a trainer. And he's very explosive and everything, but it's just, you know, fucking hell, everything that came out about him. And it's,
they were prepared to push him for a while as like a threat on SmackDown.
I think he just had that rare mix of like size and build where he was really muscular, but kind of like a bigger, he's like a Neidhart, right? But he had that, just that little bit of extra edge where it was kind of like Vader-esque, where you'd see him coming off the top and stuff. It's just a shame that he turned out to be an arsehole, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a shame fucking he was an arsehole. Up next, after the break, Ric Flair is in action, and he's facing one half of the American males, flipping Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Give him his full name. It's Marcus Alexander, buff gigolo, stripper Marcus Bagwell.
Who looks lovely in a suit these days.
Yeah.
Lovely little picture.
Dressing up like Mr. Rogers.
Looking healthy and happy.
Swearing like a sailor on his cutaways.
He certainly does do a lot of cutaway swearing. Yeah. As Flair walks to the ring, Paul Orndorff just sidles up to the commentary table and wearing his neck brace like he's Andy Kaufman, saying, "You know what they say about paybacks? You never know when they're going to happen."
And they
Paul,
just,
they've never said that about paybacks.
They all just turn to him.
They act like they just like he's just burst into
him.
Existence. Like,
Orndorff, is this 1995? The fuck are you doing here?
I want Orndorff to burst into existence and scare them every week, but come up with some different bollocks about payback.
Bischoff's just, shit, I've not got anything planned for his return. Oh, bollocks.
Well, you know what they say about paybacks, Eric. They're worth two in the bush. And he has nothing planned for his return either. You're right.
Yep.
Well, he pops up.
Which, I mean, it's not nice to say, considering wrestlers go for a lot longer now, but Orndorff was aging out at this point. Like, you know, it's sort of, he'd been around for a very long time, but they should have at least had a spot on the Dungeon of Doom from or something. Can you imagine?
Orndorff in the Dungeon of Doom. Yeah. That's a lovely idea.
Put him under a mask, give him some like weird, he's been mind washed or whatever.
That'd been fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Turn him into a credible threat.
That'd be great. Rather than just sort of disappearing into the ether.
Make him the Giant's twin brother. And insist that they're twins. Even though they've got different hair, builds, everything, gear.
Yeah, why not?
Give the Giant a Giant tattoo. And he doesn't have the Giant tattoo.
So he earns it?
No, he just doesn't ever get one.
Okay.
Like, they're just twin brothers, though. Because all twins have matching tattoos, of course.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Well, that's how you stay twins.
So if you get the tattoo removed...
Then your twin would have to get it removed as well.
What if they don't?
Well, it's a law. You're a twin.
Ah, so I thought one of you like dissolves or something.
Well, you know how every single pair of twins you've ever met is wearing the same clothes?
Yes.
Well, that's the law.
Ah, right.
They have to go into CNA or wherever's open.
I mean, they're fucked already.
CNA?
I don't know if CNA's there anymore. They have to go to CNA. They're Mother fucked care. Already.
And
they have to go,
they pick out a they nice matching into, set of dungarees.
They
know?
Have to go into Dixon, right?
Index. Littlewoods, Matalan.
Did I ever tell you my brilliant story about my dad and the Index catalogue shop?
Oh, the Index catalogue shop was fucking banging. It was Argos, but cheaper. Yeah. It was the Primark of Argos.
It was the Prime Argos. There was one in Worcester.
Yeah.
And it was at the time of the Thunderbirds Tracy Island craze.
Oh, was that when they did the live action film?
No, mate.
Oh, was this way, way back?
Mate, I'm old as fuck.
Right.
Well, I'm talking the Tracy Island that was the must-have kids' toy for Christmas.
Yeah, I used to have that fucking toy as well.
And my younger brother wanted one for Christmas, and they were a nightmare to get hold of. And my dad had heard from his mate in the social club that there was something like six coming into
So he put on his balaclava and he got his sawn off, right?
My dad fucking shot up Index.
He didn't go to Index. He waited until
he comes
they
out of
left.
Prison tomorrow.
They left the warehouse. Your dad's just in the family car.
Kids, get in quick.
Opens. Oh, yeah, it takes you all along because your ma's out. Winds down the window like this because it's the 90s.
It is the 90s.
And he's just got the sword off. He's tap, 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 trying to maintain speed and drive. Pull over now. Give me all your Tracy Islands. And he's like, I'm sorry, mate. This is the Aqua CDs. I want fucking Tracy Island. He's like, that was
Build
the
me
other
one
band.
Out of Aqua CDs.
Your dad looks over and there's another truck from the same warehouse going over like a bridge, like a mile back. And it's like, fuck.
Motherfucker.
Quickly does a UE on the motorway. He's tearing down. You're all in the back now. Like, oh my God, what's happening? And eventually you are thrown by your dad onto the back of the truck, at which point you have to open it with your teeth. And then you claw in, you claw your way in through a few boxes of different pairs of crap trainers that are kind of rip-offs. And then all of a sudden you get to the back and there's a couple of action men you get momentarily distracted by until your dad's like, come on, Tom. And then you go, oh, there it is. And it's glowing. And it's going, ah. And then you like pick it up and you launch it at the car. And then your dad catches it, and happy Christmas all around.
It's sadly My story is nowhere near as excited as that.
That wasn't even exciting.
Is that, mate?
There was no Mordor.
Doing that in your... imagine that in Sam's dystopian future, but robots are chasing you.
And instead of Tracy Island, it's a fucking 7 foot, 1 ton.
Randy Savage, Slim Jim machine.
Slim Jim Pez dispenser.
Oh, Dad, how did you know?
With all new custom fitted sit-up bench. You clip on, it comes with a set of stepladders.
I genuinely can't follow Ultimate Best. So my dad gets a tip off that there's six of these Tracy Island turning up. Yeah. So he goes to the index and the queue out the door is already like 10 deep. And he's like, well, I ain't getting in. But then he remembers that there's a back entrance to index on the other street.
Oh,
and my dad just chances his arm and goes there. And they open that door first.
Oh!
Whoop! Straight in, one Tracy Island, please. A lot of evil stares from the people in the queue before him, and he's away.
Fucking brilliant.
My dad is fucking genius.
That's fantastic.
My dad is streets. And then he got in the car and chased the robots out the city. We all jumped in the back.
Not a family one, but something that's popped up in my brain from the late 90s was that, like, where we used to live, we would go to, like, our big supermarket was in Concert. And it was like the big Morrisons or whatever it was, like a Safeway at the time or something. But it was when DVD players were first starting to, you know, be fruitful and multiply, and everybody was getting them.
Yeah, you get them more frequently.
They were all about 80 quid. They were massive, bulky, ugly fucking things that were like as wide as your TV with a tiny disc tray and a huge controller that had, you know, all these buttons that didn't need. And they were just ridiculous. But it was like the number one thing for Christmas that year. And the Morrisons or the Safeway, whatever it was, they had like a stock set of them. And I remember hearing about it from my dad. But because it was a thing on like local news, these blokes just turned up like Phoenix Knight style in high vizzes and just fucked off with the stock. They just came in the back, pallet like tray, went boop, 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 went out back, loaded it onto the back of a van and drove off with like a grand's worth of DVD player
bloody
in like 1999.
Hell.
It was fucking brilliant. It was so funny.
I mean, confident. I mean, I'm not. I couldn't be a crim because my guilty conscience would just. I would never sleep and I'd get heart palpitations. Yeah. But I'm always fascinated by the confidence tricksters.
Yeah.
The closest I've done, closest I've come to being a confidence trickster is on two occasions when I've been out with a friend and with Alex the one time is we saw there was a private party on and I'm feeling a little bit like Devin May Care. We're dressed quite nice. We've been out for a day.
Try and chance
it. And I went, come on, let's go. She's like, no. And literally the bouncer's there and you go, evening. He goes, right, go on in.
Yeah.
And then the trick is, you can have this for free. If you ever find yourself breaking into a party, obviously if it's free
you
beer.
Is it that you need to meet somebody first?
No, you don't even need to meet somebody. Okay. What you do, and this is my little trick, is you go to the bar, and when you're at the bar, you go look to the dance floor. It's always a busy dance floor.
Yeah.
You just gesture towards the dance floor.
Right.
The international hand gesture for, do you want a beer?
Yeah.
So you point and go, do you want a beer? Everyone on that dance floor assumes you're pointing at someone else.
Yeah.
But to the people around you, oh, he's getting
So you've
a drink.
Been seen by multiple people already at the bar.
And I'm pointing.
Probably already a few drinks deep yourself on the evening.
I'm
so you
hiding
look,
in plain
look
sight.
The part.
And I'm talking to somebody who's on the dance floor. So everybody who's looking at me goes, oh, he knows somebody on the
it's
dance floor.
Genius. Because is it the American like frat party technique is to get in there, learn somebody's name as quick as you can, and then when they go, who the fuck invited you? You just go, blah, blah.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. I'm with Oliver.
Yeah. If it's a wedding, though, or something like that, yeah, your trick is by far better, I think, on many fronts.
Yeah. It's worth trying.
I've never crashed a party.
It's good. It's naughty, but it's good fun. A little bit cheeky fun. Anyway, Bagwell and Flair is happening. Bischoff updates us that Randy Savage has taken Hogan to the hospital and he's on his way back. So he just like dumped him in reception. Good luck, Hogan. Stay the fuck away from me tonight.
6 or 7 extra stomps just straight to the head. Hogan's back.
Don't let him out. He's probably got a disease. Flair lights up Bagwell with chops, but Bagwell takes him down with a headlock. Gets big cheers for the females.
Nice.
A lot of lady love for Buff Bagwell. Bagwell sending Flair over the top gets a huge pop as well. Mm-hmm. Flair tries some chops on Bagwell. Marcus absorbs them and starts hitting him with these fast punches.
Yeah, they just kind of flinging like a boxer.
Just flailing on him. Drops him out, and he's just, you know what? Excellent work by Flair, making Bagwell look like a threat.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Hilarious as fuck spot that you picked up on because you messaged me on Slack about it. Flair, like Bagwell bounces off the ropes and Flair like motions towards him. It looks
as if
like
he's going to go in.
If he's going to go in, but then Bagwell goes flying past him. Yeah. Too much momentum. And Bagwell stops on the ropes. Now, initially, it's like he stops himself on the ropes. And then realizes, oh, I was meant to go flying over here.
Yeah.
So then he stops and then just flings himself over the top rope.
It's like if he hits that, then after that first bounce, that entire first bounce of going back and forward, he's like, I needed to do something, shit. And then he goes, whoop. But it's just that quick little second or so of just like, oh.
It is a second that lasts a lifetime in that particular moment. Woman distracts the referee, which allows Ric Flair to do nothing illegal at all.
Yes.
Literally goes out of the ring, puts a boot to him and chucks him back in. He would have done that anyway. One final flurry from Bagwell. Of course he throws Flair off the top rope.
Yeah.
He then gets a superplex for a near fall. He then goes for a springboard splash into the ring, which I don't think I've ever seen Bagwell do before.
It's certainly the type of thing I'd expect out of like Scotty Riggs. So it might be something they do like when they're teaming.
Maybe. But Flair gets the knees up Mother Brown.
Yeah.
So Bagwell is absorbs the knees instead. And then Flair puts the figure four on and gets a tap out.
And that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Flair refusing to release the figure four until Savage returns to run him off. And Savage he's gunning for Flair at this point.
Yeah, he's aggro. He's in his NWO Savage gear.
Mm-hmm. He's had a little quick change on the way back from the Slim Jim Factory. And so see you at Super Brawl, Savage and Flair in a steel cage.
What was he doing at the Slim Jim Factory? Is it the rumored launch of the Slim Jim launcher?
The eight foot Slim
so,
Jim.
So you know like Super Soakers? But instead it's like you load it up instead of water, you just fill that little bottle with Slim Jims and then you pump it up with air and then you like I'm just nailing people in the back row with Slim Jims.
I heard that
you can leave the wrappers on, but it will cause large foil cuts.
See, that was what I heard. I also heard that it was the launcher, but it's a launcher for the new Slim Jim gravy.
Yeah. So it's just like a
white liquid. And in order
like a sausage gravy.
Like a sausage gravy. But there's a special technique to it. So what you do is you hold the Super Soaker and you have to move your hand very slowly at first.
Right.
And then speed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then after a minute or two.
See, I'd heard they were going for mortars with the gravy.
No, they abandoned
that whole mechanic and it was more of a, they'll stick it in there and then it just really explodes all over everybody.
I mean, that's kind of what they're doing, but they want it to be like an interactive game. So you've got to do the pump action for it.
Okay.
They've got two little canisters. Cylindrical canisters that you keep the gravy in. Sometimes it gets stuck, so you've got to give them a little bit of
Is the gravy heated?
Pull at the same. It's quite warm.
Has it got a heater element, like a coil running
through
chip, the...
A little microchip sensor.
Nice.
As soon as you start pumping it, it heats it up.
Can you put any other liquids in it, or is it?
I mean, it's mainly the sausage gravy.
Liquid locked sausage gravy.
It is their liquid locked technology.
You put Bisto in there, it's going to be a little bit too thin.
It's going to be too thin and dribbly.
You need to use the exact sachets that they sell for $10 a pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it depending on the model and the size, it can take a little bit of time, but eventually it.
Incredible.
Everywhere. All over.
It's amazing
sausages.
What they're coming up with in the Far East in these here 90s.
It is amazing what they're coming up with. Main event of Nitro.
Christ.
And it's the Road Warriors facing hang on, no. Who are they facing?
Mankar Stang.
Yeah.
And Leg Luger.
Leg Luger. Mankar Stang and Leg Luger. And
Sting is still a fucking moron, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that
still
hasn't changed.
Still unaware that Luger is being a heel. He's just like, oh, we're on a run of success. What was that to worry about there, Lex? And he goes, nothing, Sting, nothing.
Yeah, what
worry about it? Then I'll just keep looking at me belt.
I like how Sting is now Sting from the Police.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, Lex Luger, what are you doing, man? Are you pinched? Are you cheating, Lex, man?
That's how Sting sounds, yeah.
Woo! Hey, Ric Flair, if you screw me, I'm going to be fucking mad.
Which song does Sting come out to, though, if it's Sting Sting?
He does this. He does that. In the fields of barley, hit you with a bat. He's the man called Sting. every breath you take. So I'm having a fight with my mate Lex Luger. He better not be a fucking cheat, or I'll fucking have him. Luke, Sting and Animal start.
Yeah.
Sting gets the advantage. Now, fucking hell, Animal, the strongest boy in the fight. The big story is his back is fucked.
Still. Yeah, his back's done.
Back's fucked.
His back's so bad he couldn't even put on face paint today.
I'd be so... He just could be arsed. I feel so disappointed so far in this Road Warriors run because I just thought they'd come in and just fucking lay waste to everyone and they look so fucking
it's
weak.
It's certainly a better match than last week, but last week was... It was a pretty... I wouldn't say appalling, but it just wasn't a very good exhibition of what they're known for.
Didn't and showcase while, them.
You know, I think you can argue that people don't really need the refresher. It's the fucking Legion of Doom. You know, it's still not the Legion of Doom that we're used to seeing. Mm. So it's a bit different, isn't it?
Luger, so tags are made after Sting gets the advantage on Animal, and Luger and Hawk are next in the match. Leg stupidly hits a pile driver on Hawk. You don't hit a pile driver on Hawk. It replenishes him, if anything.
Yeah,
it's a weird glitch in the game.
Yeah,
it's a weird glitch in the Mega Drive version of Lex Luger, whereby if you hit him with a move, it puts his power back up. It's a pretty 50-50 affair for most of this part, apart from Animal, who takes an elongated back beating.
Yeah.
And just as kind of the match is getting going, boom!
Yeah, we take a lovely skip forward in time thanks to the local power department. Do your fucking jobs.
Yeah. So, in the darkness, so when what we don't see, the power goes out in the arena. Complete blackout in the arena. The match kind of carries on, but much slower.
Yeah.
Whilst people rush around to try and get emergency backup generators on.
So when you watch this on the network, it will literally just kind of go...
It'll be like a little static cut, and it'll
kind of come back up, and it has a little like presented in as best original format as possible. Production errors, all this shit. But yeah, the power goes out of the building. They have to kind of work through it. And to be fair to them, when we come back, the crowd is dead. But you fucking would be. Like, you know, the power's gone. The atmosphere goes with it. But they largely managed to get through it, and the crowd are back on their feet and cheering again, and everything's all right.
But again, as we mentioned last week, whenever anything dodgy happens on these episodes of Nitro, because of the furore that Bischoff has whipped people into, everybody's going, this is Vince. This is WWF.
Yeah.
They've cut the power.
Those bastards.
Those bastards. They've cut...
Cut an hour power.
And Bischoff has a way of saying that without saying that.
Yeah.
Where Bischoff kind of makes...
A competitor whose name with Vince McMahon. certainly fucking with our power this
the Wobbly
evening.
Wobbly Federation. they say, like, nobody is going to stop us from doing what we do. We are always going to be here. We will never stop. Ha ha. I love a fight. Don't you, Mongo? Don't you love a good fight? And he says, that's what he says. He never once insinuates that WWF cut the power because he knows it's a power cut. These things happen. But he isn't going to tell people that it wasn't Vince that cut the power.
Yeah. Any
sneaky
hype,
bastard.
Any hype is hype.
Any hype is hype, right? So we come back after the static. And the match is kind of picks up once again. Like you say, they kind of get the fans back into it.
Yeah.
Animal powers up on Luger, hits him with a big power slam. Jimmy Hart gets into the ring. And this is where I think, didn't Jimmy Hart used to manage the Road Warriors briefly? Or was he always just against them in the WWF?
I have no idea.
I feel like he might have always been against them. As Animal,
because they had Ellerin, didn't they?
That's it, actually, yeah. As Animal grabs Jimmy, Luger jams the megaphone into Animal's bad back and pins him.
It a megaphone or was it a lead pipe? Because I think Jimmy tries to interfere with a lead pipe but has left his megaphone down or he gets knocked out. But either way, it leads to another screwy Lex cheating the win. But this time, Sting's fairly certain something fucky's afoot.
Something's fucking going on here!
He stops for about 3 whole seconds this time before going, oh, well, we won. Let's get to the back.
Yeah, basically. Did you fucking cheat, Lex? No. All right, you fucking Doylem, I believe you.
It's
getting, fucking next time.
It's getting a bit hard to sit there and believe that Sting is this much of an idiot. It is getting very hard to sit there and just be like, yeah, Sting still doesn't know. Come on.
Sting was late for Nitro the next day. So I'm sorry I'm late. Me mom sent us to the shop for a long wait. and some checkered paint.
For fuck's sake.
Real work experience shit.
Ah, some old school work experience shit now. Sting is confused as to how the win went down. Not happy, but he accepts it because he's a fucking idiot. Mean Gene gets a word with the LOD. Animal is livid. He says he wants another shot at the titles. But after, Luger and Sting have faced Harlem Heat at Super Brawl. He's polite like that. But he warns Luger and Sting that they're not done with them. And Hawk says words to a similar effect before leaving. All eyes now on Super Brawl.
Yeah.
With Hogan facing the Giant, Savage facing Flair in cage matches.
And then we go back to commentary because of the power outage. There's been like an extension granted to the show.
Mm.
So we go back to commentary and it's weird because people are filing out behind them. And yeah. It's almost like, if you just take it out of context, it's like, everybody's leaving.
You can't wait to get home and watch the replay. That's what's happening here. And that's Nitro. You know what? This has probably been one of the better ones as of late.
It started picking up. Like last week was all right. This week's been all right. It's hopefully going to keep going.
I like the fact that we had different people doing different things, like Benoit and Savage and Flair and Bagwell. Why not?
Well, Bagwell, I think, could have been a really, really, really solid underdog babyface had circumstances been different. And I think putting him up against people like Flair, I mean, the crowd go wild for him, and he's got quite an energetic moveset for the time.
Yeah.
Quite unique for the time, where there's a lot of like the springboarding stuff, and the way he moves is quite dynamic. But it's interesting to see them sort of put in that bit of faith in, you know, some of the new generation like Benoit and Bagwell. And yeah,
that's that. And we'll see more of that maybe at Super Brawl, which is next on the docket. Watch along for
watch
Super
along
Brawl.
Time.
We'll watch along a Super Brawl and you'll join us next week for that. And until we are next back together, he is at The Sam Driver on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us, you fucking dial-up. Gotta go and fucking get my macho mum 7 foot Slim Jim machine. It's funny.
Don't forget the mortar, the splashy mortar. That's the main one everybody wants for Christmas.
Dick jokes all the way. It's been dick jokes all the way down.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.